Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, Instagram.com/greatdetectives. I do want to encourage you to check out our other podcast, in particular the Old Time Radio Superman Show at otrsuperman.com. We went through all of the existing serials and half-hour programs. Superman radio program saw Superman taking on all sorts of enemies, from the simple crooks and hoods to Nazis, an atomic-powered megalomaniac, even a version of the Ku Klux Klan. The Superman radio series features the first appearance of Jimmy Olsen and also features appearances by Batman with Superman before they ever even got together in the comics. You can check it out over at otrsuperman.com, and you can also check out all of the different podcasts we do over at the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio page, greatdetectives.net. Now let's get into today's episode of Mr. Chameleon. We'll be bringing you 10 episodes
from 1950, a series of 6 consecutive episodes and a series of 4 consecutive episodes. So let's go ahead and take a listen to our first 1950 episode. Original air date, April the 26th, 1950, and the title is The Dusty Room Murder Case.
Next, Mr. Chameleon and the Dusty Room Murder Case. Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Police Headquarters in his famous cases of crime and murder, brought to you by the makers of genuine Bayer aspirin. Mr. Chameleon, as you know, is the famous and dreaded detective who frequently uses a disguise to track down a killer, a disguise which at all times is recognized by the audience. Tonight, we give you Mr. Chameleon in the Dusty Room Murder Case. As the curtain rises, we look into the study of an old mansion in Midtown, New York. A man about 50 sits at an old-fashioned oak desk, a telephone receiver at his ear, ready to speak the words that bring up the curtain on one of Mr. Chameleon's most interesting murder cases. The man at the desk is the wealthy inventor, Hiram Stevens, and we hear him speaking into the phone.
Hello. Hello there, Fitch. Connection was broken. I'll go back to where I was. No, I didn't misunderstand you. I know exactly what I want to do. I know what you mean. Just follow out my orders. That's all you have to do. All right, then come out here. All right, Fitch, I'll be waiting for you. Guess that'll fix him. Say, hey, what's that? Hey, stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Oh, you... You murdered me.
Uncle Hiram! Uncle Hiram! Uncle Hiram, is anything wrong? Open the door. I can't get in.
What's the matter, Dick?
I heard shots coming from Uncle Hiram's study, Tina. Now I can't get in, and he doesn't answer.
Well, let's go inside then, Dick.
Well, how? He's evidently locked the door.
Oh, here. Here's a chair.
Oh.
Get up on it, Dick, and look through the transom.
Oh, I'd forgotten the transom. Tina! Tina!
What?
Uncle Hiram is slumped over his desk. He's committed suicide.
Suicide? Let me get up there too, Dick.
No. It's horrible. His head is almost blown off. You'd get sick.
Come down from that chair, Dick. Try to break the door in. We must get in there. If you can't do it, I'll run out and call the gardener.
No. Don't call anybody. I'll ring the police.
Yes?
You called the police? I'm Chameleon of Central Police Headquarters. This is Detective Arnold.
Oh, come in. Dick! Dick, here are the police.
Oh, yes. Glad to meet you, Mr. Chameleon.
My husband's uncle committed suicide.
The last thing we ever expected of him.
But he had been brooding lately.
Your uncle's name was Hiram Stevens, Mr.
Dick Stevens, Mr. Chameleon.
Will you take us to the body, please?
It's in that room, but you'll have to break the door down to get in.
Uncle Hiram must have locked himself in first.
Dave, all right, try your keys.
Okay, Mr. Chameleon. Lock turns all right, but nothing happens. Seems to be bolted from the inside.
There any other way to enter this room, Dick?
This is the only door, Mr. Chameleon.
Let's break it in, Dave.
Here we are, Mr. Chameleon. There's the gun next to the body. I'll get it.
Stay where you are, Dave. Don't walk across that floor.
What?
The floor and everything in this room is covered with dust.
And there are no footmarks leading to the body.
It's strange. Very strange.
Strange, Mr. Chameleon?
What do you mean, Mr. Chameleon?
I wonder how your uncle got to that desk without leaving any sign on this dusty floor.
I suppose he was sitting at the desk and killed himself there without walking anywhere.
He still had to get there some way. Unless...
Unless what, Mr. Chameleon?
Unless the murderer made a very silly mistake, Tina.
Murderer?
Murderer, you say?
Exactly, Dick. Your uncle was murdered.
But how could he have been, Mr. Chameleon?
That's what I'm here to find out. Dave?
Yes, Mr. Chameleon?
Stand in front of this door until the police photographers get here.
Right.
And don't let anyone enter under any circumstances. Dick, Tina, suppose we go into the room across the hall where we can talk.
Of course. Come on, Tina. Won't you sit down, Mr. Chameleon?
Thank you, but I'll do better standing up.
Oh, that's the doorbell. I'll answer it.
Detective Arnold will answer it, Tina. The police photographer, I'm sure.
Oh.
Can either one of you explain why the room in which your uncle Hiram Stevens was murdered was completely dust-covered?
My husband's uncle was an inventor, Mr. Chameleon. Was not very tidy.
That's not the point I'm getting at, Tina.
I don't understand.
I'll explain later. The first thing I want to know is, where were both of you when the murder occurred?
Dick and I were both in the house, upstairs.
That's right, Mr. Chameleon. We had just come in from the airport.
The airport?
We went out to get our tickets. We're flying to Europe tomorrow.
I see. Were you both together upstairs?
Yes and no, Mr. Chameleon.
Yes and no, Dick?
Well, what I mean is Tina went into the dressing room and changed her clothes.
Changed her clothes, so you were not together.
What difference does that make, Mr. Chameleon?
Did you change your clothes, Tina?
I started to, but changed my mind.
Then the clothes you are now wearing are the same ones that you had on when the murder took place.
Yes.
Step over to the window with me, please, in the light.
In the light? Why?
I can't see very well here. Come along.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Well, what are you looking for on my wife's clothes, Mr. Chameleon?
Dust, Dick. Dust.
Well, you don't see any on me, do you?
No, Tina, but...
Mr. Chameleon?
Yes, Dave?
The pictures have been taken. We used a distance lens from the door.
Good. We can go into the murder room now. Come along, Dick, Tina.
Mr. Chameleon, you act as if you think Dick and I know something more than we've told you.
Not at all. You haven't told me anything yet.
Shall I try to raise the body now, Mr. Chameleon?
First make a note, Dave. This entire room is dust-covered, including the murdered man. Write that down.
I have, Mr. Chameleon.
Also write down every object in the room, the pictures, the two glass mirrors, the mantelpiece, even the dead man's hair. Everything is covered with a layer of dust.
Got it all down, Mr. Chameleon.
Everything except the murder gun. That is clean.
Well, what does that mean, the gun is clean?
Obviously, the murderer threw it on the desk to make it look like suicide.
I tell you, Dick, Mr. Chameleon suspects you of murder.
Suspects me? Why should he, Tina?
Dave, let's raise the body from the chair.
Yes, sir. You take this side. I'll take the other here.
Exactly as I guessed, Dave. The only spot in this room that's not coated with dust is the seat on which the unfortunate man was sitting. There's no dust on the seat of his trousers.
Well, I'll be.
Dick, you and your wife go back into the living room. I'll see you in there in a few minutes.
This is outrageous.
It's a murder investigation, ma'am. Now do as Mr. Chameleon says.
Oh, all right, then.
We'll be in the living room, Mr. Chameleon.
What's it all about, Mr. Chameleon?
Those two people were at the airport arranging to fly to Europe, Dave.
Uh-oh.
Tomorrow. So there you are. They could have killed their rich uncle, left a perfect suicide set behind, and been off like birds in the air tomorrow.
But I can't figure that dust, Mr. Chameleon.
The dust, Dave, would make it seem that no one had entered or left the suicide room, and that the dead man had been lying there for days.
But how did all the dust get here?
The dust was sprayed in here, Dave. Probably with an insecticide sprayer, like the kind used to spray plants.
What do you think of that?
Have the house and grounds search for the sprayer. Call headquarters right away.
Shall I use this phone?
Yes. Also order men with vacuum cleaners out here from headquarters.
Vacuum cleaners?
Mm-hmm. Have this room vacuumed. Send the dust they collect to the lab for analysis.
Okay. Say, Mr. Chameleon, look here. This notepad attached to the telephone.
Yes, I've already seen that, Dave. Murdered man was evidently phoning a man named Fitch just before he was killed.
Yes, the pad says, call John Fitch about changing papers.
I wonder what that means. While you're phoning headquarters, I'll go in to see Dick and Tina.
Mr. Chameleon.
Yes, Dick?
I've been talking to my wife, Tina.
Yes?
She says I should make her clean breast of one thing.
Of what?
She thinks I should tell you I'm the sole heir to my uncle's considerable fortune.
That's interesting.
Interesting? Is that all you have to say, Mr. Chameleon?
There is one thing certain, Tina. If you told your husband to say that, you have supplied him with a motive for murder.
What?
Oh, there's the doorbell again. May I answer it this time, Mr. Chameleon?
Yes, go ahead, Dick.
Why, Mr. Fitch.
Oh, hello, Dick. Will you tell your uncle I'm here with the papers he telephoned for?
My uncle has been murdered.
What? Murdered? That's what I was afraid of.
And the police are here. One is Mr. Chameleon.
Chameleon?
Yes, Mr. Fitch. And Mr. Chameleon suspects Dick of murder.
That's incredible, Tina. Utterly ridiculous.
Mr. Fitch, I'm Chameleon. And what is ridiculous about my suspecting Dick?
Because this young man had no reason for murdering his uncle. He has every reason for wanting him alive.
What reason?
Well, let me explain first that I am Hiram Stevens' confidential agent.
I say.
And I have right here a letter giving these two young people complete control of his fabulously valuable synthetic rubber inventions.
What?
He phoned me this afternoon and told me he was going to sign this letter the moment I arrived here with it. Well, here's the letter, Mr. Chameleon.
Certainly gives Dick and Tina what's equivalent to a fortune.
Exactly.
So apparently Dick and Tina had no reason to murder their uncle before he signed it.
It would have cost them a fortune, Mr. Chameleon.
Yes, I get the point, Mr. Fitch. It seems that I'm at a dead end.
I'd not say that, exactly.
Mr. Fitch, if you suspect anyone, it's your duty to tell me.
More than a duty, Mr. Chameleon. An obligation to a man who was very kind to me through many years of close association.
Yes?
And naturally, now, to save his nephew from police suspicion, and also Tina, who was my own secretary before she married Dick.
Good. Whom do you suspect, Mr. Fitch?
I suspect the people who would have lost the rights to the millions the murdered man was signing over to Dick and Tina.
You say other people had these rights and were losing them on account of this letter? Who are they?
A man named Seymour Wakefield, who was Hiram Stevens' original partner, and his wife, Donna.
But when does the wife come in?
She was a rich woman when Wakefield married her, and she advanced the money to start him and Hiram in the business.
I see.
The point is that the murdered Hiram, who was a very changeable and eccentric man, had given them the rights that the letter you have gives to Dick and Tina.
What did Hiram do? Cancel the Wakefield's rights?
That's exactly what he was doing, Mr. Chameleon.
Was doing, you say?
Yes, here's the cancellation itself, duly signed by Hiram.
I see.
Hiram told me to give the cancellation to the Wakefields after he'd signed this letter to Tina and Dick.
This is becoming very interesting. The question is, did the Wakefields know about this, Mr. Fitch?
I told them myself this afternoon, and they literally flew out to see Hiram. They left my office about 30 minutes before the murder, on their way here.
What it sums up to, then, Mr. Fitch, is that if Hiram had lived long enough to sign this letter to Dick and Tina, The Wakefields would have lost a fortune.
Yes. And when I informed them, they said they would kill Hiram before they let him take the control from them.
I see. Well, there's no time to waste. May I keep these papers?
Certainly.
You know where the Wakefields live?
Oh, I have their address, Mr. Chameleon. I'll give it to you.
Thank you, Tina. Mr. Seymour Wakefield?
Yes?
I'm Chameleon of the police. This is Detective Arnold.
Come in.
Thank you. I came for some information.
Yes, Mr. Chameleon?
You were a partner of Hiram Stevens?
I am a partner of his.
Then you haven't heard that he was murdered?
Murdered? Oh, that's impossible.
Murdered in a dust-covered room.
Before you go any further, Seymour, let me say something.
Adona, this is Mr. Chameleon, the detective.
How do you do, Mrs. Wakefield? You were about to say...
I was going to tell my husband not to say he didn't know Hiram Stevens was murdered. We both heard it on the radio.
Donna, please.
Acting like we don't know will only make things worse. My husband and I were at Hiram Stevens' house this afternoon.
When he was murdered?
No, we'd gone.
What was the subject of the quarrel that you and your husband had with the murdered man?
We had no quarrel.
You know we did, Seymour. But it wasn't serious, Mr. Chameleon.
I was informed it was because the murdered man was canceling a paper that gave you control of his valuable synthetic rubber inventions.
The only person who could have told you that was John Fitch.
Did you or did you not quarrel?
Well, it's just as my wife says, Mr. Chameleon. Wasn't anything serious.
The control the murdered man was canceling was worth millions of dollars. I've seen murders committed for less than $10.
Mr. Chameleon, I'd like to show you something.
Show me what?
I'll get it from this desk. Please read this, Mr. Chameleon. It's a document from Hiram Stevens giving my husband and me complete control of his synthetic rubber invention.
And it's signed by Hiram himself.
Yes, I see. Dated last year.
Yes. And Hiram's signature is witnessed, you'll notice, by Mr. Fitch, who seems so eager to entangle us in a murder case.
And here is a document Mr. Fitch gave me, Mrs. Wakefield. One he was on his way out to give to the murdered man.
What is it?
It's a letter giving control of Hiram's inventions to his niece and nephew, Tina and Dick.
I don't understand.
And it's dated today, Mrs. Wakefield, and it is not signed. Had Hiram Stevens lived to sign it, you would have been out a tremendous sum of money. A tremendous sum.
If it's not signed, it's not worth the paper it's written on.
Of course it isn't, Seymour. Mr. Chameleon knows that.
I know also that it's a prime motive for murder.
You think we murdered Hiram?
I'm going to make an odd request of you and your husband, Mrs. Wakefield.
Odd request?
I'll ask you both to give the clothes you're wearing now to Detective Arnold. Also the coats both of you wore this afternoon.
What for?
Go to your room, please, and come back with them.
Suppose we refuse.
I'll take you to police headquarters and have them removed.
All right. We'll give them to you. Come on, Seymour.
And don't bother to brush them off. What I'm looking for won't brush off.
Mr. Chameleon and the Dusty Room murder case continues in just a moment. The very first thing to do when you feel a cold coming on is to take genuine Bayer aspirin. You should do this and do it before you do anything else, because a cold is almost always accompanied by muscular aches and pains and a headachy, feverish feeling. And it's important that you relieve this distress in the fastest possible way. Ask your own doctor about this. No matter what you do to try to stop or shorten a cold, we think he'll tell you it's sound advice. And as millions know who have followed this advice, Bayer aspirin provides the relief you want, makes you feel better fast. It's actually ready to go to work in 2 seconds. And remember, Bayer aspirin, single active ingredient, is so gentle to the system that doctors regularly prescribe it even for small children. That's why it's been used by millions of normal people without ill effect. So at the first sign of a cold, before you do anything else, take Bayer aspirin. When you buy, ask for Bayer aspirin, not just for aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now back to Mr. Chameleon and the Dusty Room murder case. Hiram Stevens, a wealthy inventor, has been found murdered in a room suspiciously covered with dust. Mr. Chameleon has discovered that the murdered man was about to sign a paper taking the rights to his immensely valuable inventions away from his partner, Seymour Wakefield, and giving them to his nephew and niece. And now, as Mr. Chameleon leaves the Wakefield house with Detective Dave Arnold, Dave is saying,
"What do we do with the Wakefield's clothes, Mr. Chameleon? Didn't take them long to get them off and give them to us."
"The wife, Donna's a very clever woman, Dave."
"Maybe too clever."
Start up the car, Dave. We're going back now to see the murdered man's nephew and niece, Dick and Tina Stevens.
"Okay, Mr. Chameleon."
I'm trying to get the commissioner of police now over the radio. "Central headquarters, please."
"Central headquarters."
"This is Chameleon. Put me through to the commissioner."
"Okay, Mr. Chameleon."
"Hello, Chameleon. The laboratory just gave a report on that dust you had vacuumed from the murder room."
"What's the analysis, Commissioner?"
"Well, you guessed right, Chameleon. The dust had been sprayed over the room with an insecticide sprayer. Traces of insecticide are in the dust. Anything else you want?"
"Yes, I've got a man's suit and a woman's dress and coat in the car with me. I want vacuum, too. Send one of the boys out to get them, please."
"Send where?"
"Dave Arnold will be in the car in front of the murder house. We're on our way there now, Commissioner."
"Right, Chameleon. Bye."
"Dave, you wait here in the car until the commissioner sends out for these clothes. I'll go in now to see Dick Stevens and Tina."
"Okay, Mr. Chameleon."
"Oh, it's you, Mr. Chameleon. Come in."
"Thank you. Dick, the case is shaping up. I'll soon have whoever killed your uncle in that suspiciously dust-covered room."
"Oh, you will?"
"Just a few details remain to be cleared up."
"I see. Oh, Tina, Mr. Chameleon is here."
"Good evening, Mr. Chameleon. What are the details you're clearing up?"
Dick can answer the first question best, Tina."
"Aye, Mr. Chameleon."
"Why was your murdered uncle giving you control over his affairs?"
Because he wanted to retire from active work and put everything in my hands."
"It's odd that the first thing that you should do is to start off for Europe."
"But we were planning to stay only 2 weeks."
"I see. I'd like to go back to the murder room with both you and Tina."
"Come ahead."
"Very, very well. What do you expect to find in the room my uncle died in?"
"I want to show you something in here."
"What?"
"Let me pull these draperies aside. There's a door here. You and Tina told me there was only one door to this murder room."
"Well, that door behind the draperies, it's always locked. It's kept that way, isn't it, Tina?"
"It's never been opened since we lived here, Mr. Chameleon."
"It's directly behind the desk where your uncle was murdered. I put it to you, Dick, that while your wife was in the dressing room, you could have slipped downstairs, shot your uncle without Tina's knowing it."
"But why should Dick have killed his uncle? Why, Mr. Chameleon? The Wakefields are the only people who can benefit by the murder."
"When I make an arrest in this case, I will then present the evidence."
"You can't accuse Tina and me of murder."
"I am not accusing Tina of anything."
"Then you can't accuse me either."
"One other point, Nick."
"Yes?"
"The police laboratory reports the dust found in this murder room was deliberately sprayed in here to make the murder look like suicide."
"What?"
"And we've got the insecticide sprayer that was used. It came from this place."
"Oh, Dick! Dick!"
"Tomorrow morning, I will send a Professor Simpkins out here. He is the expert man on dust at police headquarters."
"What for? He won't find anything."
"We'll see tomorrow. Good night. And remember, Dick and Tina, this house is under police observation."
"Don't you think we know that, Mr. Chameleon?"
And the next morning, we find Mr. Chameleon in disguise as Professor Simpkins, police laboratory dust expert, with Detective Dave Arnold outside the murder house. And Mr. Chameleon is saying,
"All right, Dave, we're ready for the kill."
"I've got all the papers and the other evidence here, Mr. Chameleon. Maybe I should say Professor Simpkins. You certainly look like one in that disguise."
"You have Seymour Wakefield and his wife Donna in the house?"
"Right. Mr. Fitch is in there, too."
"Good. Let's go, Dave."
Now, inside the murder house, we see Mr. Chameleon disguised as Professor Simpkins, a very learned-appearing man with horn-rimmed glasses, speaking in the voice of his disguise as he says to Dick Stevens and his wife, Tina.
Mr. and Mrs. Stevens, believe me, I feel most unhappy to reveal certain findings to seemingly respectable young people like you. But appearances sometimes are quite deceptive. Quite deceptive.
Oh, what are you getting at, Professor Simpkins?
They reveal that you, Mr. Stevens, purposely and with malicious intent, sprayed the room where your uncle was killed to deceive the police and make his murder appear as a suicide. And our Mr. Chameleon requested me to so state to you.
Mr. Chameleon is trying to pin a murder on me to keep up his own reputation.
Still behooves you, young man, to speak that way of an officer of Mr. Chameleon's reputation. Especially since the murder evidence was found on your premises after an attempt was made to put the crime on others.
And I know who those others were, Professor Simpkins.
Indeed, Mr. Seymour Wakeful. Indeed. And how did you and your wife explain that on careful analysis, I discovered dust from the murder room on the clothes both you and your wife like?
You see, Donna, Chameleon knew you were lying when you said we left this murder room before Hiram Stevens was murdered.
So you were in the room during the murder?
Professor Simpkins, we came here after Hiram was killed. We opened the door behind his desk and a lot of dust fell all over us. But we didn't go in.
My laboratory findings revealed dust from the murder room in your clothes. Unmistakable evidence of murder.
Say that again, I'll choke you.
Stay put, Wakefield, or
don't
else.
Don't manhandle me, Detective Arnold.
Professor Simpkins.
You something to say, Mr. Fitch?
Your findings prove what I told Mr. Chameleon.
You told him, Mr. Fitch, that Seymour Wakefield and his wife killed Hiram Stevens to prevent his giving the control of his valuable inventions to Dick and Tina Stevens.
Yes, and I was right.
You showed Mr. Chameleon a document of control in favor of Dick and Tina from their murdered uncle, but never signed by him.
That's correct, Professor. I also showed him a paper canceling a similar power in favor of the two murderers, Seymour and Donna Wakefield.
Quite so, Mr. Fitch.
And that paper was signed by Hiram Stevens.
And that is where you tripped yourself, Fitch. And this woman, Tina Stevens, your former secretary.
You're not Professor Simpkins. You're Mr. Chameleon.
Mr. Chameleon in disguise.
Handcuff Fitch to Tina Stevens.
No, help me, Mr. Fitch.
What absurdity is this, Mr. Chameleon?
You planned the murder, Fitch. You dreamed up the idea of a dust-filled suicide room.
That's right, Mr. Chameleon, he did.
But you fired the murder shots, Tina.
If she did, I didn't know it, Mr. Chameleon.
You're both equally guilty, Fitch. A clever scheme. This woman, Tina Stevens, your former secretary, married Dick for only one reason.
I married him for money. Why else?
Shut up, Tina.
I'll put the record straight, Fitch. The unsigned letter that you gave me purporting to turn the murdered man's rights to Tina and Dick was typed by you. It was a complete phony.
How can you ever prove that?
And the signed cancellation you used to throw suspicion on Mr. and Mrs. Wakefield was a forgery. And I will put expert after expert on the witness stand to prove that it was. Isn't that right, Tina?
Yes. Fitch himself forged it.
You brainless idiot, Tina.
Dave, write out a confession for Tina to sign. That's all that's needed to close the Dusty Room murder case.
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. If you've ever had difficulty giving your children the proper dosage of aspirin as prescribed by your doctor, you'll be glad to know you can now get genuine Bayer aspirin in a new children-size tablet. These new tablets contain half the amount of the regular size Bayer aspirin tablets, and with them you can conveniently give your child the dosage your doctor wants him to have. All you need use is one children-size Bayer aspirin tablet, because each tablet is full dosage. In addition, they're neither colored nor flavored, and hence cannot be mistaken for candy. And they may be used with complete confidence for the fact that doctors prescribe Bayer aspirin's single active ingredient even for the smallest children shows how gentle and dependable it is. The bottle and carton are plainly marked children's size Bayer aspirin. 30 tablets for 25 cents. Listen next Wednesday night at this same time for Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, in The Custody of the Child, Murder Case. The part of Mr. Chameleon is played by Carl Swenson, with dialogue by Frank Hummert, from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. Music directed by Victor Arden. Your announcer is Howard Claney.
Scientific studies show that the only sensible way to help prevent tooth decay is to keep your teeth thoroughly clean at all times. This is because teeth that are free of decay breeding deposits and film actually resist decay. And to clean them, use powder. For there's no dentifrice you can get that cleans teeth like powder. Thanks to its remarkable cleaning power, Dr. Lyons tooth powder almost instantly helps remove deposits and film in which bacteria form, bacteria that cause tooth decay. So to help prevent tooth decay before it gets started, to whiten and brighten your teeth beautifully, use either regular or ammoniated Dr. Lyons tooth powder.
Listen for Mr. Chameleon in The Custody of the Child, Murder Case, next Wednesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. A little known fact of modern police work is that most specialized jobs were created as covers for Mr. Chameleon to disguise himself as for no good reason. I will say that I did enjoy the solution in that I'd kind of put the niece and nephew as like a single set of suspects. Who, you know, either one of them acted alone or they acted together. But mixing up the niece with her former boss, I thought that was a nice move. And I thought this was, you know, to be honest, a pretty neat setup for a murder to kind of make you wonder, okay, what's going on here? But as Mr. Chameleon said, the whole thing was the result of a silly mistake, which is kind of an interesting way of indicating that your best police detective is not taking on a serious criminal that, you know, pretty much any other police officer could have solved. It is also kind of weird to have the police commissioner sitting around headquarters and handing out test results to police officers in the field. Although, I guess on the more realistic standard, I did like that Chameleon just came in kind of blind to the case. You know, not like, this is a super special case, let's call Chameleon. It's like, you know, there's a case.
There's a dead body, could be murder, could be a suicide. Why don't you go and check it out and see what's going on? So, from a dramatic standpoint, it might not be the best thing, but I do have to give it some points for being slightly more realistic. With that, we turn to listener comments and feedback, and we turn to Eric. Eric writes, "Oh, I just can't with this show. It has a premise made for radio, where it could be easy to suspend disbelief that nobody could recognize this guy. And they end up with this? I have to admit, though, that I find it entertainingly bad, especially since they like to bring back that old Hummert trope from Mr. Keene, where the victim has a full conversation with their murderer who never speaks. Oh, it's you. What are you doing here? Well, come in. Anyway, would you like some tea? Wait, why do you have that wet pipe? No! I actually did a second recording of that, Eric, and I hope my second reading fits the expectations of this genre. Eric says, I smile inside every time I hear that. Well, I hope I got you an extra smile, but thanks so much for the comment, Eric. Then we turn to the Twitterverse, where DLAFO says, I'm trying to imagine an encounter between Mr. Chameleon and Mr. Keen. Odds on, 30% of the script would just be someone saying their name. Well, thanks for the comment, and that is an interesting idea. It never happened over radio, but it would be fascinating to imagine what that would be like. I don't think it would be so much saying their name. It would be saying the explanation of who they are, you know. Dave, that's Mr. Chameleon, the famous investigator. And then a few minutes later, Mr. Chameleon, have you seen Mr. Keen, the famous investigator? He wandered off somewhere. You know, that sort of thing. So more the title and the elucidation of the name. But then, you know, if you had a bigger mystery, you know, you had like this three-parter beginning with an episode of Mr. Chameleon and an episode of Mr. Keen, and they thought they solved it at the end, but they didn't actually solve it, or there was a bigger mystery involving, like, all of the suspects who weren't guilty in the other two mysteries, then yeah, you could have a lot. You might have just an hour long to say all the names. But I would love the Hummertverse attack. That, you know, some form or another, you know, that could be amazing. You could just have them, making fun of, like, all of the problems with their series. You know, you'd have Mike Clancy saying something like, Saints preserve us, Mr. Keen. What was the point of Mr. Chameleon disguising himself as his own left-handed twin brother, who's the police expert in crimes committed with a harmonica? Dave Arnold could interrupt. Don't go there. I could call you out on how your boss is supposed to be the tracer of lost persons and hasn't looked for a missing person since 1944. Well, what is he supposed to do? The ratings are higher for looking for murderers. Yeah, that sort of thing, only better written and with people who could actually act. The possibilities are not endless, but there are quite a few. And it would entertain the few of us who actually knew what these series were. At any rate, thanks so much for the comment. Now it is time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Margie, Patreon supporter since September 2016. Currently supporting us at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Again, thanks so much for your support. That will do it for today. A reminder, if you are enjoying this podcast, be sure to rate and review it wherever you download your podcast from. We'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of Mr. Chameleon, but coming up tomorrow, stand by for Intrigue with the Man Called X, where...
Believe me, Mr. X, taking me with you here to Kabul is one of the smartest things you ever did.
Oh, thanks, Diego.
Sure, I know this Jones like a couple of books. Well, so what can I do you for, Mr. X?
How'd you like to dig up some information about M5?
That's a cinch. I'll find out all you want to know about M who?
Oh, never mind. See if you can find anyone interested in the Dashti Margot. Anyone who's been on desert expeditions lately.
Oh, sure. Nothing to it, Mr. X.
Then meet me here at the Camel Mart when you're through.
But Mr. X...
See you later, Pago.
But...
Tabaroon Hare, Assembly. You're interested in some of these noble beasts of burden?
I'm interested in a man by the name of Ismaila.
Ismaila?
I was told I could find him right here at the Camel Mart.
And who was the low-born one who so informed the Effendi?
It could have been a certain Kurgan Bey.
This way, Effendi, if you please.
Sure.
So my message did reach the Bureau in New York.
That's right, Isabella. Now, what can you tell me about Kurgan Bey and what happened to him in the Dashti Margot?
No more than what's written in the message to you, Effendi.
He didn't mention something called M5 or the names of any strangers from the north?
No, Effendi, nothing.
Hmm. How soon can you get me out to the Dashti Margot?
Ismaila has 3 desert trucks ready. Over there at the far side of the marketplace is where they will be. In 2 hours' time.
Good. I'll meet you there.
It will be so. By a day, Mr.
Yeah, till later, Ismaila.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram. Instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.